There's only one revelation we really need. Revelation of Jesus and who he is, which is grace. Father, we thank you for this class. We thank you for that your will be accomplished. We know it already is in motion. We just want to be in place, play our part, and receive everything that you have for us. We believe in you and your word. We believe in the price that you paid for us. And so we are established in that and that alone. And our whole lives are built in and around and about that. So we thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood. We just thank you for loving us. We appreciate it. I don't know if we say it enough, God, and we thank you for a lot of different things. I just thank you for loving us and just loving me. You know everything about me. You know everything about all of us, all the bad and the good and the wrongs and the rights and the ups and downs. You still decide to love us. You thought enough of us to still continue to love us. So we appreciate it. We don't take it lightly. We just want to take full benefit of your love and take full benefit of who you are and what you designed for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hebrews 13. We're going to do some flipping. I got like a whole page of notes, but I probably ain't going to touch none of it. And that's how it works when you're preaching. You get a bunch of notes, boy, and you be ripping, you be running it off, boy, and you studying. But then you get up there and the Holy Ghost get to talking. And it's time for you to shut up. Put your notes up and let him say what he going to say. The Hebrews chapter 13, we'll start off at verse... verse 8, and this is one of our favorite scriptures in the world, but I didn't realize. I was sitting with an apostle one day, and we kind of read across the scripture. We were just talking about grace, and we read across the scripture, and then we've been quoting this for years, and we just put it on everything else but grace. We just quoted, let me say this first. I appreciate where we are. My eyes are open. I thought I saw before. Once again, I probably said last week, but I feel like I'm born again. I thought I was seeing Jesus. You know, y'all know we thought we knew him. Do you know him? Yeah, we know him, you know, and we thought we knew, man, but my eyes are so open. I'm so glad to be here in this moment. I'm so glad. You know, I had to keep myself, me and Darius talking, I had to keep myself from being like, dope, like just busting myself in the head for not knowing before. But I'm thankful to be here now. And I know now, and I'm thankful for where we're going ahead. I'm thankful for all the people that's going to be touched. I'm thankful for all the people that we're going to reach. We're going to know how to love people now. Like, we're going to know how to bring in the harvest now. Like we're going to understand how to do this now. We're not going to be beating ourselves up anymore. We're not going to be watering with our foot, the Bible talks about. You're doing all this work. And then y'all know we've been in church for a long time, haven't we? Some of us, we've been in church for a long time, haven't we? Going to a lot of services. And all the services that we've been to don't add up to all the manifestation. Seem like we should be getting more manifestation, right? This is your eyes got to be open. That man said, I see, but I see men walking the trees. Jesus put his hand on him again. Then everything was wide open. I think that's for a reason. I always thought that it was just a good story. I asked Jesus one time, I said, why? I said, why did you do it that way? I know you had, what you didn't. Did you not shoot enough power the first time when you laid hands? What was it? Why did you do it? But he was showing levels, and he was showing how you can come from being blind to just see men walking the trees. But your vision is still inhibited. You still can't see. And where there's no vision, you will perish. So what's been happening? I put the two scriptures together, the two places talk about perishing. He said, where there's no vision, the people perish. He said, but for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed him should not. So now the vision that we need to see, keep your eyes on, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Y'all see that together? The reason we've been perishing, because there's no vision. No vision of what? We thought vision was talking about the church motto. You know what I'm saying? I was changing lives of people to the word of God. Praise the Lord for that. You know what I'm saying? We thought it was that. So we thought we saw the words up there. We understood what it meant to change lives of people to the word of God. Then that was it. But it's not your church vision. It's about the vision of Jesus. Your church vision runs from that. You see what I'm saying? So So just clarity. I'm excited about being here. That something the apostle said. Well, this scripture, I'll read the scripture and we'll talk about it. Verse 8, and you can almost quote it with your eyes closed. Read it. Ready, read. And forever. Now, you know we love that. Jesus Christ. Y'all know we. Jesus Christ. And we'll preach. It'll preach. It'll preach in church. We get him a hoop and holler, won't we? Won't we? You know he the same. He the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know he don't change. He'll be here today and tomorrow. He'll never leave you, never forsake you, right? Right? When we get to preaching on it, Jesus Christ is saying, I don't know what we was talking about. Just that he the same what, though? What is the same? Like, what is it? What is it? Like, what does that mean when he say he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Okay, so he's still Jesus. Okay, but what does that mean to you? What does that mean about yesterday, today, and forever to you? You know, now grace says, now, and this shock culture, but grace says my past, present, and future sins are forgiven. When I received Jesus, he took care of all that. He don't take care of the one in the future. So you telling me that the blood of Jesus got a timetable on it? You telling me that God's love and God's grace can't reach into the future? Just because you feel like you can't go in the future? Limited thinking. So Jesus Christ saying yesterday and today and forever. Right? We ain't know what we're talking about. I don't know what we were talking about. But we used to yell it. We never read the next part. Read the next scripture. Read. So don't be cared about with strange doctrine. Now by show of hands, a lot of us, and we quoted that scripture. Sometimes we didn't know where it was, number one. We just heard the preacher say it, right? Come on, y'all. I'm trying to be real. I want to be real so we can break down. We have to break a lot of this stuff down. And then we'll get to this part. Jesus Christ saying yesterday forever. So we quoted because somebody told us. We didn't read it for ourselves. Somebody told us. Even if we did know it was Hebrews 13 and 8, we didn't know what verse 9 said. We had no idea that it talks about don't be cared about with strange doctrines. And we thought strange doctrines was somebody acting funny or saying something crazy on TV. We didn't know that everything other than the message of grace was a strange doctrine. Anything that wasn't covered under grace is a strange doctrine. Anything that you preach that don't have grace involved, or is not under grace, or not under the function of grace, is a strange doctrine. It is strange. Why is it strange? What's strange? Think about the word strange. What's strange? Something weird. Something that's abnormal. Something that doesn't work right. It's just strange, right? Well, it's a strange doctrine because you're trying to work something that can't work no other way but grace. Trying to preach the word without the grace being upon it, without grace being the foundation, is like trying to be saved without Jesus. It does not work. If you're preaching anything other than the message of grace, and it's not necessarily your title has to say grace. You know, it's not necessarily that, but your message has to be built upon the grace of God. All of them. You saved by what? We're going to go in the scripture in a minute. If I'm saved by it, then I got to preach by it. That means my doctrine is by that. That means my word that I preach is by grace. And if it's not by grace, what is it by? Some other doctrine. Some strange doctrine. It says, but don't be cared about the other strange doctrine. And it says, but it's a good thing that thy heart be established. Look at it. Established in what? No, it says faith. I said faith. It says love. No. It said love. No. It said the anointing. No, look at it. It said the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit. No. It says, come on, give me some more spiritual things. Come on, y'all. Worship. Huh? Let your heart be established in tongues. Huh? It's pretty simple, huh? It's a good thing that your heart be established. Look at the word established, and it just says, I know I got the deep definitions, and, you know how we do it. We go look it up, and it says, having been in existence for a long time and therefore recognized and generally accepted. That means it's been there. So being established in something. That means it's your foundation, it's your makeup, it's your build. You can't really do anything else until you're establishing this. The establishment is this. This is what makes everything up. So it's a good thing. Jesus Christ saying yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! It's a good thing that your heart be established in grace so you understand who he really is and what yesterday, today, and forever really means to you. It really showing you how far this spans. We talking about Jesus Christ saying yesterday, and you know, it's a grace chapter. Go ahead and read it. You ain't got to read it. I ain't got time to read it now. But it's talking about grace. It's really showing you how far it really reaches. It goes past what you can visit to on your own. That's why the Bible consistently talks about great. It's not about your work. It's not about anything you can do. It's not about anything you. It's nothing that you could have done to make yourself righteous. You don't have enough time in this world. You can live to be 2,045 years old, and you do not have enough time to pay back Jesus for what he did for you. All right, now that's good. Now we understand that. We've understood that before, right? We understood that. Well, a long time we didn't know we was righteous. A long time we thought, you know, we were sinners saved by grace. That's what we was, huh? I won't do that. I said I wasn't gonna do it no more. Sometimes in some of these things they say I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but the Lord told me I'm righteous now. He says I'm no longer wrong S's. We got the wrong S's. I'm gonna show you a couple S's because we on the wrong S's. We focus so much on sin, and we don't realize that we are son. Take the I out and put the O. All right, take the I out and put the O. I'm a son. Now I'm a son. But see, it's a good thing that your heart be established in grace. Apostle said that in church yesterday, I miss everything after that. Because I caught that and my mind started, like, establishing grace. This is important. It's important that the same heart that I believed with to accept Jesus, huh? You confess your mouth and believe where? In your heart, that same heart, it is important that my heart be established in grace. Not talk about grace or not know about grace. See, right now, we know about grace. And I'm not judging your level of faith. I can't do it. But I'm prone to believe that we know a little bit about faith. I mean, we know a little bit about grace. We heard some scriptures. Apostles been preaching on it lately, right? So we know some things, but I don't think our heart, it's not that you just should know, but our heart must be established in grace. That means grace should be everything. Grace should be all. It should be the establishment, the makeup of your heart. It should be the makeup of your belief. It should be the makeup of what your faith is on. All right, now that's more than talking about it. That's more than knowing a few scriptures. That's waking up in the morning and knowing that I'm the righteousness of God. That's going to bed. That's messing up and knowing that I'm still the righteousness of God. Come on. It's a different mindset. You know, anybody ever mess up before? Anybody ever mess up before in here? Come on. I'm going to close my eyes. Anybody mess up here? Okay, all right. I got my two hands. If I had another hand, I'd put it up. Mess up before. All right. And so what we feel like? You're a wretched scoundrel. You're dirty. I don't even want to go to church today because God ain't gonna speak to me this morning. When the thing that we need to deal with whatever we felt is a word from the Lord. Why is it that Adam and Eve, soon as they messed up, and I got, oh, Lords. Adam and Eve, soon as they messed up, what's the first thing they did? Ran and hid from the thing that could bring them back to reconciliation. And we do the same thing. Now we do it in our mind. Now watch how we do it in our mind. Now we'll come to church. And, you know, we don't tell nobody about our mess up. Y'all know how it is. We don't tell nobody about our mess up. And that's your business. That's between you and the Lord. That's the truth. You're doing the Lord, all right? We don't tell nobody about it. And then we come to church. But we're there in the building, but we're not really there. We worship and we do the same acts that everybody else is. But I have a guilt and a sin consciousness. What the Bible says, as I think, therefore I am. So if I got guilt or sin consciousness, then I am guilty and I am sinful. And that means if I have a sin conscience, therefore I am, then I'm going to do it again. You want to break a habit, get a righteousness conscience. That's right. We've been preaching step 1, 2, and 3. Anything you do 21 days become a habit, right? Y'all know it, right? Then you do one, do this. Now read this scripture, pray in tongues 35 minutes every day. If you do it consistently, it'll purge that out of you so you wasn't clean already. So the blood of Jesus didn't do it. Your work did it. So your time spent is the thing that gives you redemption. I'm not saying, pray. We stay in the middle of the road, all right? Let's stay in the middle of the road because I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't read. Pray. Pray more than you are. Read more than you are. But understand that when you're reading and when you're praying, you're not trying to make yourself good because you're already good. Jesus did that. Stop trying to take his place. Stop disgracing what he's done by involving you. I'm crucified with Christ. Paul kept on saying it, yet not I got to die. I ain't got nothing to do with it. If I could have done it, I would have done it, right? But I can't. How long have we tried? Listen, this grace message is clear to me. And it's simple. And it's, I can breathe now. It's a breath of fresh air to realize that I'm not tripping. Ain't nothing wrong with me, right? You ever thought about it? If you really look at grace in the mirror, you say, ain't nothing wrong with me. And God loves me like I am. And God is cool with me. And he know I'm messed up. He know what Adam and Eve did to me. Y'all get what I'm saying? Let me get to Adam and Eve real quick. And I'm jumping off. It's important that your heart be established in grace. It's important that your heart be established in grace. It's important that your heart be established in grace. That means grace has to be the first thing that you think about when you think Jesus Christ. Grace has to be the first thing you think about when you think about salvation. Sin should not be the first thing that you think about when we talk about grace. How tricky is it? Let's get over this sin. We make sin surround us. Can I show you? One side of the road, right? Because you got ditches on both sides of the road, and you're getting one ditch, you're stuck either way, all right? You're supposed to stay on the road. Now, one side of the ditch, it says, well, I'm saved by grace. So what I'm saving, grace saved me from what? Sin. Now, you know we talk about it. So we don't talk about the fact that grace just brought me into a better place. We don't talk about grace put me in a space where I can receive goodness from God. No. Grace and pulled me out of that sin. So now we focus in on sin again. So now we get inside and we start preaching the extreme grace. We got to go to the edge because that's what grace is. Either you're going to live by grace or by the law. All right, you can't. You know what the Bible says? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold because I don't like lukewarm. You know what he's saying, right? He's saying you can't be with grace and law because now you lukewarm and I spit you out. All right, so now I start preaching the unadulterated message of grace to Jesus Christ and what Jesus is really about, and I start preaching that. Now what they start saying, you don't be giving nobody a license to, and now sin is on both sides of us, and what you focus on expands. Get over it, y'all. Listen, sin not that strong. Sin is not that strong. Listen to me. When you're preaching, sin, yes, we should repel sin. We should do what we can to not sin. We should focus on righteousness. We don't want to fall in sin. Now, under that the wages of sin is dead. I know all these scriptures, all right? But understand that sin is not that strong for you to be preaching about it all the time. Grace puts me in a place where I can receive all the goodness of God, all the blessings and all the help, and all the love and all the direction and all the wonders and all the miracles of God. And we bypass all that because we're so afraid of sin. Give a license to sin. People been driving with no license. Did you really need a... Last time you messed up, did somebody come and say, take a picture? Y'all know what we do for the license. Right? Everybody got a license in here? All right, you got a license. What you did for your license? We're going to take the test. Sit down, all right, smile, took your picture, gave you a few minutes, then you laminated the thing and gave you. Did it take all that? No, it was a twinkling of an eye, right? You need no license? You ain't never need no license. Are you giving people a license? No, people were sinning already. You do know that there's some sins that you commit that you don't even know you're committing. There is no way for you to be righteous on your own. It got to be something bigger than me. Because what you thought about today? I'm all in your head now, huh? Who you got mad at? You ain't going to say, Father, forgive me. You didn't. If it was up to us, we all going to hell. Straight up. If it was up to us and the law, we going to hell. You would have went to hell from church service. Come on, y'all, I'm being honest with you. It got to be something bigger than us. I know it's not about me. I know it's bigger than me. I know it's a love that's stronger than mine. I know it's an understanding. It's something bigger than me that's keeping me in place. Otherwise, we'd be on our confessional sin. You know the first John 1:9, I talked about it before. It was talking about the mother people. It was talking to the believers. All right, Word of faith. Word of faith. You ready? Confession. You ready? You ready? Confession, right? Word of faith. Confession, right? You ready? Word of faith. Confession. Word of faith. Love's talking about confession, right? You know, we grew up on it. Confess, confess, confess. So say what you believe. Say what you believe, right? Say what you believe. What you doing? You're confessing, right? So say, I am the righteous of God. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. That's confession, right? I'm confessing, right? I'm confessing that, right? Right, right? So if I confess that I'm healed, then what I'm looking for? Huh? If I confess wealth, what am I looking for? So if I confess my sins, what am I supposed to get? So we don't look at that stuff. Yes, we got to pay attention. Where we been? Yeah. Confess your sins. The people, he not even talking to you. We took this one scripture, this one time that the Bible said, confess your sins, and made a doctrine out of it. Listen, the enemy has been fooling us. Yes. It is the same trick, Adam and Eve, right? Right, right? We're talking about Adam and Eve. The trick ain't never changed. It's been the same since the beginning. The trick ain't changed. It's the best trick that has ever been played in the history of the world. And it has not changed. The trick that he plays on you and on me and the rest of the church, he played it from the beginning. He told Adam and Eve that tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told them, surely you're not going to die. All right. Then he says, you need to eat of that tree, because if you eat like that, you'll be like God. But they was already like God, because they said he formed them up from dust, and God breathed into him, and he became a living soul. God breathed into him himself, and he was a part of him. He was a little version of him. He was already like God with the tree of life. But he said, you tricked him. You eat that tree, you go work. You go do some work. You go eat that tree, you do something. And you can be like God. So now he, in the midst of the trick, he got them, one part, to believe that they wasn't like God, and then got them to try to do something to be like God, and messed them up. Same trick. You need to be more holy. You need to do this to be more righteous. Huh? Go read all them scriptures. So you can get close to God. I told you, we're already close to God, though, didn't I tell y'all? Come on, y'all. It's funny now. It's laughable. Yeah. I got to get my... Hold on. Say it real loud. Say, I got to get my mind right. Tap your head. Say, I got to get my mind right. You ain't got to slap as hard as me. Just say it. I got to get my mind right. I got to get my mind right. I got to get my mind right. I got to establish my heart in grace. I talk to myself. Listen, I've been tripping. I'll be talking to myself. Daryl, I'll be talking to myself around the church. I'll be like, hey, you the righteous of God through Christ Jesus. And you know, if I'm walking through the hallway, you see me do that, you're going to think, man, you tripping. I'm walking through the righteousness of God. You think I'm crazy. But I got to get my mind right. I got to get my heart established in grace and nothing else. I got to realize that I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You got Jesus, don't you? Yes, automatically, I'm going to read in Ephesians 2. He said, right then, he took you from nothing and gave you everything. I've been reading the message, but he took you from nothing and gave you everything through the blood of Jesus. How much does the blood of Jesus cover? Do we think about this night? We say, oh, the blood of Jesus, and we sing it. You see, we talking about the precious blood, and we sing it, and we talk about it, but we never took it that far. We never took it where it really meant to go. We stopped it where we can conceive. So now I got to change my mind, because it goes further than we understand. And it covers more than we can understand, too. So same trick. So he's telling you, do this, so you can be like God. Come on, y'all. Come on, what you thought? When you read your word, what you trying to do? You trying to be like God. You're close to God. Let this mind be in you, which is also right, right? Come on. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, said the Lord of hosts. But as far as the heaven, y'all know what we said. I can have the mind of Christ if I just read the word a little bit more. Well, I ain't got the mind of God today, so maybe I didn't read enough. No, maybe you didn't believe enough. Maybe you haven't received enough. Come on, y'all. Come on, shock the culture, but I'm feeling it. Sometimes I need to be shocked. You know when the people dead, they take them things and say, clear, boom, and they shock you to make their heart beat right. And they shock you to bring you back to life, right? Right, right, right? It's a shock. Shock me. It's a shock to my culture. You're not doing all that. I keep saying, we talked about that last week. Okay, we're going to talk about this week, because your heart needs to be established. You probably gonna hear about Grace in your next class. Maybe, maybe not. Next time you see me, you know what we're gonna talk about, right? Don't look for nothing new. He got a new one this week. Yeah, I got a new one, a new scripture on grace. Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Cause it just keeps going. Much more. He talked about it much more yesterday in church. Much more. It's just super abounding. It's just when you think you understand grace, it covers everything else. But the fact that you just love me. For God's soul. That's much more. For God's soul. Love the world. So it's the same trick. We've been tricked. We've been duped. We've been hoodwinked. We've been run amok. You know what I'm talking about? We just been taken out of our kingdom, taken out of our kingship, taken out of our heirship, our inheritance. We just been taken out of it with our own weapons. We've been getting slapped with our own sword. No, really. I'm looking around. I know y'all read the word. We read the word, don't we? I know you pray. You see, and I understand where you are because you're in training center. Everybody don't come to training center. All right, well, you want to further, the advertisement say you want to further your knowledge of God, right? You want to, yeah, so it's extended training, advanced training, I understand. So I know where you're at. I know what you're trying to reach, all right? I get it. I understand. But we've been trying to do that and trying to take that word and make it happen when we really got to receive. Everybody say receive. Come on, do your hand, receive. I'm doing it like for receive. Come on, two hands. Receive. Come on, receive. Come on, it's almost like you ever seen a player playing football and they throw the ball or it's a punt. Anybody watch football? Y'all done seen football. You might not watch it, but you catch it. And there's nothing you can do. You didn't kick the ball, you didn't put it in the air. All you had to do was get under. Come on, y'all think about that grace for a minute. All I have to do is receive and believe. Receive. God trying to do some good stuff for you, but you got to receive it. If you don't receive it, what happens if you keep your hands closed? You're going to drop the ball. You're going to fumble. The other team is going to pick it up. Why are we losing? Why are we getting beat? Why we can't make no progress? Because our hands are closed. Because our heart is closed. Because there's too much law and not enough grace. Too many rules and not enough resurrection. That's what I want to say. Too many rules and not enough resurrection. Our mind, our faith goes around the rule and not around the resurrection. Resurrection says I'm alive and there's nothing that I could do. It's a gift. What do you do with a gift? It's even that's a possibility that, you get a gift, you get a Christmas gift, and you get a gift, you receive it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Right? But then also with the gift, sometimes if I don't do it, but if you fancy on Christmas, you wrap your gifts, right? So when somebody receives, they got to unwrap them, right? All we got to do is be unwrapping. See, with the things of God, when we got this word and we praying, all we doing is unwrapping the gift that we got already. All we're doing is peeling back another layer of revelation of what God has provided for us. I got a great revelation from a friend. She said, it's yet unfolding. And then when you unfold one part, it's still yet unfolding. But the gift, you got to receive it, though. Huh? You don't have to work for no gift. Any gift you got to work for ain't no gift. Here, you did 20 hours, here goes the gift. I ain't got to tell you thank you. You owe me that already. Right? But a gift is something that you didn't work for. You did nothing for it. And it's just given to you. So what you do when you give it to you? Some people in church, apostle preaching, when we preaching about finances, but some people got a problem receiving. I think that sometimes that's us. We have a problem receiving. We have a receiving problem. Why? Because it's too easy. This ain't too easy. Because my heart has been establishing work. Y'all know that? Jesus said, can you pray with me? Could you not tarry with me for an hour? It's Now we pray for an hour. And if we don't do anything above an hour, we hadn't reached the anointing. Come on. Oh, 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 oh. I'm touching somebody. I'm touching somebody's routine right now, huh? They got a little quiet. My hour. No. I'm serious. Who said that you couldn't get in 4 minutes in? If getting in was possible, because I'm already in. I was trying to get my mind on the line. See, we're not walking around like we already in there. We're not walking around like we already in there. We walk around like it's gonna be that line we're gonna get to, boy. I'm almost there, boy. I've been preaching for 10 years. I'm almost to that line where God busted on. We already here. We say I'm here.
I'm here.
Say I'm already here. Say this.
Here.
Say I'm already in here.
I'm already here.
So, the place that you're trying to get to, you're already there. Right. You just don't know it yet, because your heart is not established. Everything you believe, what you believing for, you already got it. Think about that thing right quick. Think about the thing you believe for. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. You already got it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Think about it. Come on. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
think about. Yeah. Think about whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's already done. You know, it's always say it's already done. But you, why? How's it already done? I don't see it in my bank account. I don't feel it in my body yet. They ain't showed up yet. Well, I don't know. That's only because your heart is not established in grace to understand it. And see, if your heart is not established in grace, it won't manifest to you because you could, even if it manifests, you wouldn't see it. And if your heart is not established in grace to realize that it's not about you and it's just a thing to receive, and you realize, because see, what grace and love does for us, it builds your character. See, we've been trying to do to get when we get to do. How is it? We use electronics and things so much all day long, but we don't understand. It's like, I might have used this example before, but it's like trying to vacuum without plugging it into the wall. Where do you think the power comes from? No matter how good that vacuum is built, if it's not plugged into the power, it will not start and it will not pick up. It will not fulfill purpose. So you just in the middle of the flow. Plugs everywhere now. Plugs everywhere. Extension cord. It's how we've been working. Why there been so much dirt? Why has there been so much dirt? Why has dirt been running rampant in the church? Why we can't clean up? Because we ain't hooked to the power. We hooked to the law, and that law gonna keep you dirty. The law is the power of sin. The law enforces sin. Grace changes you. So we've been going the wrong way. So instead of trying to push the vacuum around, we need to hook up to the power. Boom! And when you hook up to the power, automatically, grace. All right? Now, what's crazy about it is, born again? How many born again? How many born again? Come on. You born again? Well, see, the thing is, you already hooked to the power. You just don't know it. Because your heart is not established in grace. You got some grace kind of dripping up the side of your heart. If you can see, and you pour a little grace on your heart. But established, that means it's the inside and the outside and everything. You can't think of nothing else. But the fact that I'm righteous. I said it earlier, but that's a test. Even when you ain't, even when you feel unrighteous, that's your test, ain't it? Huh? Even when you got mad and went off and said some stuff you ain't want to say, right? You're still the righteous of God. See, it's settled. It's going to take some getting through your head, though, ain't it? Huh? It'll take some getting through your head. The first one, number 5, is established to bring about permanently. Y'all ain't gonna write that one. That one was deep enough for you, huh? That one ain't hit that spiritual spot for you, huh? What it say? Read it off. Fixed. fix, permanent, permanent, fix, permanent, fix, permanent. Who can take that away from you? Permanently, fix. It is what it is. And can't nobody change it. Get it through your head, get it through your head. If you're going to confess something, don't be confessing your sins, confess your righteousness. Lord, but we've been tricked. We've been tricked, y'all. We've been tricked. And some of the preachers tricked us. I preached it. I ain't going to blame it on nobody else until I blame it on myself. I used to do altar calls with it. You know, and it might have been good for them because some of them wasn't born again. Okay, I get it. But I used to be using everybody. You messed up yesterday? You know, you confess your sins. You pay for just forgive your sins and clean from the righteousness. And I was like, but you born again though? What, you already cleansed from your unrighteousness? You just had a moment. Grace keeps me clean. I'm not trying to get clean to get the grace. I heard Apostle say, what'd you say? He said, get clean first, then take a bath. No. You take a bath to get clean. We've been backwards. And why are we not making no progress? Because we're running backwards. Drive your car in reverse all the way to New Orleans. How long is it going to take? Well, who are you going to run into? How many people are you going to run over, right? Right? Like what? Right? And your neck going to be hurting because you like that the whole time? Don't it look like church? Come on, y'all. Come on. Yeah. It looks like us. And we're supposed to be the ones taking everything over. But we only not because we're trying to do it by law and not by grace. People come from all over the place. This is church. Unusual. People come from all. This is church. The unusual is in grace. And it's been there. We just didn't know it. Or we knew about it, but we didn't know, we didn't go into the meat of it. It is important. It is important. It is important that your heart be permanently fixed in grace. That means can't nobody change your mind. Really, when we really believe something, we know a lot of stuff. We know a lot of things. We know a lot about God, what he promised. When you really believe something, can't nobody change your mind. Can't no feeling change your mind? Can't no guilt change your mind, right? Can't nobody tell you something to change your mind? Because I believe. Could I change your mind about Jesus? You know, Jesus and grace come together. How can I change your mind about, how could I not change your mind about Jesus but change your mind about grace because they're the same? You see the confusion? You see the confusion? We've been trying to take a piece of the pie without taking the whole pie. Come on. We hadn't taken everything. I remember for years when the apostle started preaching on finances, you know, I understood that this is a part of the covenant. And you wanted everything else, but it's a part of the covenant. Like, it's all in there. Like it's all, and then now I understand it's all in the grace. Like, it's all in there. My health, my wealth, my sanity of mind, my peace, my love, my relationship with my family, long suffering, all that stuff, all that's under there. It's all, I'm supposed to have all that. When I said yes to Jesus, I said yes to it all. You can't take me without my ways. You want me, but you want me to change. You want me to be who you want me to be. No. When you get my trail, realize my trail got some ways. But if you want me, you want all of me. We all coming. Nice, mad, angry, groggy. All of us, we coming. Because we all in here. So now when you accept Jesus, are y'all with me? When you accept Jesus, you gotta accept all of him. Stop trying to make Jesus who you want him to be. Trying to fit him into your mold. You can't mold Jesus. Jesus mold you. So you gotta take it all. You gotta take the correction. Huh? But you get direction too. Huh? Take it all. Grace, take it all. I'm talk loud, huh? Take it all. No. Grace is it. Grace. Say it. Grace. That's it. Establish in grace. And I know if I got some breaking down to do. And I know if I got some uprooting. The Bible says the tear down and the uprooting and then the planting the build. Y'all know what, huh? They're talking about us. We need to There's some stuff we need to tear down and uproot. Some stuff we didn't put in there and we didn't build our lives on it. No, we need to uproot. Start planting that grace. Huh? Get it through your head. See, if you can't see it, you can't be it. If you don't see yourself that way, you can't receive that. Do y'all get that? Where there is no vision. So if I cannot see it, that's why the grace. Faith come by. You know that's a grace chapter. Romans 10. Go. What time I got there? All right, cool. That's enough for me. Romans chapter 10. I for the sake of time, I don't have time to read. You read it because, you know, we go to 10, 9, and 10. Y'all know, right? Why we go to 10, 9, and 10? Because what? That's how you get them saved, right? Right? And then we jump. This is how we do, preachers. Come on. We go to the favorite one. We all got our favorite scriptures, right? We favorite. So we go 10, 9, and 10 because, you know, you confess your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe how God raised him dead, you'll be saved, right? Right? Go 10, 9, 10 because that's how you get people saved. And then our favorite faith scripture is 17, right? Come on, read it. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So now we take that and we made a doctrine out of it, right? 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 We took that, and it's true. Faith comes by hearing. Whatever you hear, you get faith. All right, I get it. But we took that one scripture and we didn't take the context that it was talking about grace all up and through and down up in there. Faith for what? Faith for grace. He started talking about the Israelites. I ain't got time to read. He started talking about the Israelites, talking about the Jews. He said, y'all been trying to do it by your works. You've been trying to do it by how you do it and your works. And you trying to say that you are righteous by your works. So you're trying to say that Jesus wasn't relevant. And you're trying to say the price that he paid didn't make no sense because you're trying to do it by your works. He said, but how they going to know except somebody teach them? And how somebody teach them said they'll be a preacher, right? Keep going on. How they going to know? Then he says, faith come by hearing. Faith for what? Faith for grace. Now, we didn't put it on everything else, huh? Now, we took Romans 10, 17, and we put it on everything else. When the chapter is talking about our righteousness in Christ Jesus. And the chapter talks about if we believe, we'll be saved. I think about sometimes, this is, you want to preach good, you really want to reach some people, you want to preach good, you wanna, and it help you preach so we won't be, you know, we can be deep sometimes. Tell the truth. We get our deep revelations in. When we preach, we say it like you understand already. You know we do, so we got all our deep stuff. We start talking about the Holy Ghost. Sometimes people don't know a ghost. What the Holy Ghost? I don't even know them. The only ghost I know is Casper. I don't know nothing about no. Right? We don't explain stuff and stuff. I sometimes put myself in outside of myself. I'd step out of Reverend Montreux. And I go into, what if I didn't know it? What if I've never heard none of this Bible? All right, but then I got a revelation out of that because I realized that the word saved, you saved? Y'all saved? What that mean? It means you're a Christian, right? That's it? That's what we say because we Christians already. You're saved. You walk up to somebody and say, you know, you're witness, huh? You saved? What you mean I'm saved? What that is? You saved? What you mean? You saved? You born again? What? Y'all know, but when we talk, see, that's why you can't. I was talking to somebody today. I had a meeting this morning, and I said something, and I said a bunch of stuff, and it made so much sense to me. It did. I was so clear. And I'm looking at the rest of them like, why y'all don't understand? But then I realized that I left out a couple words. I didn't say the subject that I was talking about. So they didn't know what was going on. So they was like, what? And I realized that I wasn't clear. Because, you know, we always think we clear because we in here on our own. We always think we right? Y'all know it, right? And so I started thinking about the word saved. And just the word saved. No church. Not your scripture. Just S-A-V-E-D. Just the word saved. No church connotation, Ronnie. No spirit, don't pray in tongues about it right now. Just the word saved. Now, it's hard to go to saved. I know, come on, church people. I know I'm a church boy, too. It's hard to go to the word saved. But think about it for a minute. Go ahead, think about it. Go ahead. Saved. Now, what does this really mean to be saved? Because it can't just be because I'm a oh, I'm a Christian now. That's cool. You know, Jesus ain't never called no, I don't think Jesus called nobody no Christian. We made that up. Christians, you know, we did that. Come on, y'all. See, they don't want me to touch on it. See, saved, what does it mean to be saved? I can't swim. I fell in the water. I'm out here. If I can't swim, what's the next thing? The next thing, I'm going to drown. I am going to perish. I am going to die because I can't tread that water. But if you reach your hand down and grab me. See, that's why it's so powerful when Peter walked on the water. And they said, why he ain't start swimming? They probably ain't know nothing about swimming back then. Probably you fell in the water, that was it. I'm serious, y'all never thought about that, huh? Living by the books of the class. Why he got so scared? Because if I hit the water, we ain't never fell in the water before. That's probably Peter said, I ain't never fell in the water. I walked around, but I ain't never fell in no deep water. Now, anybody here that don't know how to swim, don't raise your hands. You fall in that water, you're going to need somebody to save you. Huh? You're going to need somebody to save you. Now, a lot of times, it may not be water, but it may be ourselves that we're drowning in. And somebody saving me from myself. Because myself will self-destruct. Myself will kill myself. So, save. So what's really going on when somebody gets saved? What's really happening? Well, you say it's a conversion of the spirit man, and we become, you know, and we come in relationship with the Father, and then we no. Well, what happens when you say? It's simply I've been rescued. Well, what have I been rescued from? And did the rescue stop when I messed up? See, this hand that rescued us and that saved us by grace, this hand that rescued us and saved us by grace does not ever let us go. See, my hand, if I got to jump in the water and rescue you, I'm going to do my best to save you. I am. But I'm going to get a little tired. My muscles can only go so far. I'm going to do so much pulling. I might let you go because... You know, once again, now we talking about sacrificing my life for you. Not because, huh? I'm not going to lie to you. You're not going to nail me to the cross. Why lie? You neither. We don't need another one to die. But that hand, he don't never, Jesus Christ is the same. All right, so if he saved you, you born again? He saved you. You remember you got saved? Y'all remember your day? I remember. Remind yourself. Remember I said last week, remember who you are? Remind yourself. You remember the day you got saved? Why do we forget that day or all that stuff he saved us from and think he can't save us from this little stuff that's going on today? Or that we not saved no more? Because I'm saved. Saved with a D. That means I am saved. I am in the act of I'm saved. That's my being. I'm saved. That's my makeup. I am. That's where I'm at. Do me a favor. Do me a real big favor. I'm going to stop. Do me a big favor. I want you to start submerging yourselves. Listen to me. It's going to help you. All right, listen to me. This ain't no test, nothing. I ain't worried about your test, all none of that stuff. I want you to start submerging yourselves in the grace of God. And they say, Montreal, how do I do that? You can't just do that by mental assenting. All right, you can't just do that by you heard me talk about it tonight, so you feel good about it for the next 2 days. No, it's got to be a lifestyle. You got to constantly remind yourself of the grace of God. You find them great scriptures and see what God is saying about you and submerge yourself until you die to self. Under grace. And then everything will change. Everything will change. Everything will change. Heart establishing grace. Establishing grace.